everyone. It's Chuck Arfine. Welcome to the White Sox Talk podcast. It is brought to you, as always, by our friends at Wintrust. All right. The hot stove season has begun. Deals are starting to be made. Discussions are underway. So it is time. It is time for our annual free agent prediction podcast. Who is going to be signing where? Well, I've narrowed down a list to 12 free agents. 12 free agents who are all potential fits with the White Sox or one of their AL Central rivals. We are intellectually, emotionally invested in these guys. You're going to hear names like Marcus Semien, Nick Castellanos, Carlos Rodon, Michael Conforto, Kyle Schwarber, and more. Where are they all going to sign? And who will the White Sox end up with? That is coming your way.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With White Sox checking, you'll score a Sox debit card. Plus, you'll get a special offer when you open online today at Wintrust.com/SoxTalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, Ryan McGuffey, Vinny Duber, we are back again for one of our favorite podcasts of the year. We are predicting the free agent market, who is going to sign where. It is tough to predict the future, but I have full faith in us three being able to predict some of the future. I mean, last year we did pretty good. I've got the numbers here.
Did,
the
names. Did you go back and look?
Yeah, I went back and looked.
Okay. We had a pretty good year then.
Yeah, we did pretty good. Like, I predicted that Jose Quintana would sign with the Angels. It wasn't a big prediction, but I got it right.
Good job. You nailed that one. Vinny, what's your prediction this year, just out of curiosity, for Jose Quintana?
He's in Japan.
Independent league?
Going to Japan. That's where he's going. Vinny, you said that Michael Brantley was going to re-sign with the Astros. Guff and I said he was going to sign with the White Sox. I think that was more of our heart than our heads.
Oh, yeah, I always throw a little heart in this podcast.
Guff, you predicted that George Springer was going to sign with the Blue Jays. Yes.
We had
our wish lists, and I said that Liam Hendricks was going to sign with the White Sox if I was in the front office. But we all underestimated the White Sox front office because we all had them re-signing Alex Colome because we didn't think they were going to spend big on Liam Hendricks. We all said Colome. And he signs 1 year, $6 million with the Twins, and he's a free agent.
And hey, White Sox part of this prediction, part you got to be realistic in your predictions here, Chuck.
Yeah, yeah. And the White Sox signed Liam Hendricks 4 years, $54 million. So that was a nice prediction we did not get right. Nobody predicted that the White Sox would sign Adam Eaton. No one saw that coming.
We wanted people to keep coming back to the podcast and listening.
Also, no one predicted that I would somehow break the story.
Good point.
Including me. I did not predict that. So today, this year, we are going to make 12 free agent predictions. Players either connected to the White Sox would be a good fit for the White Sox or a good fit for their rivals. So it's guys we're interested in, not just for the White Sox, but we have to keep our eyes on just in case they enter our world in the AL Central. And then at the end, I want you guys to make a final prediction if Craig Kimbrell is going to be traded, and if so, to where. So let's begin with Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon, free agent. Jim Bowden predicts that he's going to get a 1-year, $12 million deal with incentives. Now, we're not going to predict. I didn't predict any numbers, any contracts. Gov, sometimes you do, and that's fine.
I did.
Okay, all good. I'm bringing this up with Rodon just because it just, his market is so off the, it's so unpredictable. MLB Trade Rumors has him getting a 1-year, $25 million deal. And Ken Davidoff of the New York Post has him getting 5 years, $75 million with the White Sox. So this gives you an idea. This gives you an idea of the unpredictability of Carlos Rodon's market. So let's go Vinny and then Guff and then me. We'll just do a go around, round for the whole podcast. So Vinny, you start.
Okay. I think that you got to look at a few of the couple recent things that are very interesting. Scott Boras said, obviously, that they're looking for a multi-year deal. I tend to lean towards probably a 1-year deal. And that really doesn't have as much to do with Carlos Rodon as it has to do with how free agency has really worked over the last few years and guys that you expect to get, rewarded handsomely for their work don't always do so and kind of need sometimes another prove it season on top of a season where they did just prove something very impressive. So I look then to some of the recent news that's been going on. We saw Noah Syndergaard sign with the Angels on a 1-year deal. And the reporting was that the Toronto Blue Jays were one of the teams that was very interested in that. Boston Red Sox, I think maybe as well. And then you read today some of the reports about Justin Verlander, maybe those same AL East teams are interested in him. So when I see Carlos Rodon, I see a guy who might end up with a 1-year deal, who has an injury history like some of those other guys. And I look to the Toronto Blue Jays, who also reportedly just missed out on Eduardo Rodriguez, who signed with the Detroit Tigers. The Blue Jays are looking for pitching. They just re-upped Jose Berríos. I'm saying the Blue Jays are the ones that land Carlos Rodon, and I think on a 1-year deal.
I also have a 1-year deal for all of the reasons that Vinny just said. And so then you start shopping for the teams that makes most sense for Carlos Rodon from not just a team fit, from a personal fit. And usually when you have a guy that's coming off of a year like Carlos Rodon had, if you scrap the bad and just look at all of the positives that would give him a 5-year, $75 million deal. You have to look at a team that's going to take a chance and willing to throw out a 1-year deal with a lot of money. I have 1-year, $20 million for Carlos Rodon, with a possibility of an option that has like a couple $1 million buyout to really make it like a 1-for-22-ish or something. And I look at teams that are going to be competitive to try to win a World Series and what they're losing. And I go back to Houston. I look at Houston and say, okay, well, Greinke's nothing, but he's gone. Verlander's likely gone. Lance McCullers, that's a great unknown for Houston. I just was reading a report earlier that they're going to kind of table this thing all the way into January and hope that he doesn't need that the UCL is not fit or not damaged and that he can go on. But can you imagine a scenario where Lance McCullers is shelved for the first part of the season? They have to pick up the pieces with some guys, and they know Carlos Rodon. They just saw him as recently as the last game of the ALDS. Now, granted, Carlos Rodon was not his 100% self, but when he reached back, and we all three of us were at the game, when he was hitting 99 in that first inning, it was nasty. Astros are a perfect team for Carlos Rodon to eventually land that multi-year deal and bet on himself. It might sting a little bit, but I think we're all in agreement that Carlos Rodon is not coming back to the White Sox. I'm going Houston Astros, 1-year, $20 million.
It makes sense that all three of us have three different landing spots for Rodon. It just goes along with the unknown about his market. I actually think he'll get a 1-year deal with an option for a second year that is maybe it's a 1-year, $20 million deal, like you said, with a chance to make it 2-for-40
sure,
with a team option for next year, just to see how things go. Or maybe it's even more than 20 in the next year. The Red Sox lost lefty Eduardo Rodriguez to the Tigers. They'll try to bring in another lefty. They're going to reunite Carlos Rodon with Chris Sale, and you'll have Carlos Rodon in a Red Sox uniform going to the AL East. That is my prediction. Number two, another Carlos. Carlos Correa, 27 years old. He did it all in 2021, offensively, defensively. Might get the biggest contract of all. The Tigers are reportedly going after him. It'd be a reunion with his former manager, AJ Hinch. Vinny, where's he going?
I kind of like that Detroit suggestion. I think that's what I'm going with. And it really seems like Detroit is making a push, right? I mean, I think we heard from Alavila at the GM meetings that, you know, it's not one guy. Obviously we heard a lot of that from Rick Hahn when people were talking about Manny Machado, even all the way back, and some of the other huge names that were out there that he'd been asked about when they were in their rebuilding stage on the South side. I think you look at AJ Hinch, who has a familiarity with Correa. I mean, man, how impressive was Correa? I mean, watching him play just the games against the White Sox this year and in the playoffs, you know, you understood why a team would want to build around this guy. The Tigers have two position player prospects that are ranked in the top seven in baseball. I mean, to add Correa to that, you're talking about a very impressive core that can go toe to toe with the White Sox and the AL Central over the next few years, plus all that pitching that they've got. I think that's the kind of splash that makes sense for a team that's really on the rise. And not that it necessarily fast forwards their timeline, you know, but look at what the Padres were able to do with Manny Machado and then bring in some of their other young guys in the coming years around there. So I'll go ahead and say the Tigers.
Yeah. I'm going to parlay that as well. Or piggyback that. I think Detroit it makes a lot of, at the end of the day, it's going to be who pays. So it's always about money. We can sit here and talk about fit and AJ Hinch and a team on the rise and all that stuff. But if the Tigers are $25 million short, it's going to, you know, Carlos Correa will be lining up for somebody else. I just think it makes too much sense. I mean, the Tigers have money to spend. The time is now. They're telling you that. And it's going to cost. The question is, are they willing? So Miggy Cabrera is at the back end. He's got 2 years left. He's at the back end of that monster deal that he signed way back when. Do they want to sign up for another monster deal? Because that's what it's going to cost. I have 10 years, $350 million for Carlos Correa because I think Francisco Lindor, he's the barometer. And to me, right now, I think Carlos Correa has earned the right to be a bigger contract than Francisco Lindor. I think he's shown that in every step of the way. And his age tells you everything else. I kind of want Carlos Correa to sign with Detroit. Is that crazy? We're doing a White Sox Talk podcast. I have been on record saying I'm ready for another team to step up and say we're here too, because I do think it impacted the White Sox. I don't know if it impacted the White Sox from going to the ALCS. I'm not going to say that. But I do think it's good to have a rival. The Twins are going to be the doormat, I think, for a couple of years. And the Tigers just have that piss you off thing already going. They have AJ Hinch. They had the little dust up there at the end of the year with Jose Abreu. I kind of like the idea of Carlos Correa signing. Carlos Correa is not afraid to get chippy. He said it even. He was probably the most pissed off about Ryan Tepera's comments in the ALDS. So I kind of think Carlos Correa already sees what's going on the South side and would embrace something like that. Again, it's gonna come down to money. But this is the perfect player for the Detroit Tigers.
All right, so Miguel Cabrera is making $32 million in 2022 and $32 million more in 2023. They just spent $77 million on Eduardo Rodriguez. I can't see the Tigers spending $350 million on Correa. I think he's going to want to go somewhere he knows he can cheat. Oh, did I just say that? Oh, sorry. No, I didn't. I'm being sarcastic. Here's where I think I know. This is where I think I know where he's going to go.
Sorry, I was getting a sign. It was a signal that booming.
He likes the big stage. He's comfortable being the enemy. What's the biggest stage? Who's the biggest enemy? It's New York. He's going to follow his former Astros teammate, Gerrit Cole, to the Yankees. It just feels he should be in the Bronx. You know, like Carlos Correa. The Yankees should want to bring him. They want to, if they're going for a shortstop, they're going for the number one guy, in my opinion, and that's Correa. He just fits the Yankee mentality. Bright lights, big city, Carlos Correa to the Yankees. That's what I got. We'll see. Number three, Marcus Semien. The White Sox reportedly met with Scott Boras about him and Michael Conforto. We'll get to Conforto later. The White Sox drafted Marcus Semien not only out of high school, they drafted him again out of college. This rarely happens that a guy gets drafted out of high school. He stays in high school, goes to college, and that same team drafts him. As we know, he was traded along with Chris Bassett and Josh Fegley to the A's in the Jeff Samardzija trade. His name has been attached to, Mariners, Dodgers, Angels, White Sox, Yankees, Astros, a lot of teams. Vinny, where do you have Marcus Semien going?
Well, I mean, as I've mentioned many times over the last few weeks, I do think that, you know, if the White Sox are going to make a big splash and compete in that arms race, Semien's the guy to target. I think he's the guy that plugs their biggest hole in the best and biggest way. That being said, you know, Marcus Semien's going to be in high demand, I think. And I think that the most likely outcome, if you read a lot of the analysis that's taken place to this point, has been projected as him going back to Toronto. You know, he signs that 1-year prove it deal that we were just talking about with Rodon. He signed it with the Blue Jays last year, and boy, did he prove it. And the Blue Jays, man, they see that they can win in that AL East. You know, they didn't make the playoffs this year, but they were right there and they can compete with all those teams. I think that they're gearing up. And I think that keeping Marcus Semien there as part of their core moving forward, which is a very impressive young core, by the way, would be very good way to make sure that that team is competitive, not just in 2022, but for a very long time in what is traditionally one of, if not the most competitive division in baseball. So I'll say he goes back to Toronto.
Toronto makes a lot of sense there, Vinny, but they had some other issues, most notably Robbie Ray and trying to lock down some pitching. So I just wonder how many nine-figure deals in this case, can they dish out this offseason? I don't know. I'll be interested to see that. So because of that, I don't have him going to Toronto. And I'll put a little disclaimer in here that I've learned in this podcast that's better to root to be wrong than try to be right. So I'm rooting to be wrong in this case, because I do agree with you, Vinny, that Marcus Semien, to me, is the crown gem of this whole class and need. And I've talked a lot about, like, can a certain player step into the role of being the highest paid player in the history of a franchise? And Marcus Semien checks all those boxes because of what Chuck said at the top. They've drafted him twice. They know the guy. They know his family. They know what makes him tick. And they've seen him rise and be one of the best players in all of baseball. And quite frankly, the best player in terms of WAR of any of the free agent shortstops since 2019. And I think that's a little hook too. You know, where does he really want to play? And if he really wants to play shortstop, he's not coming to the White Sox. But at the end, this is all about money. It doesn't really matter anywhere, anything else, the position, anything else. And there's a team that just all year long, Chuck and I kept going, how are they doing this?
How are they doing this?
And Seattle has gone on record and said they're spending some money this offseason. Who do you think knows Seattle? Seattle may know Marcus Semien just as well as the White Sox. They sat there and lined up against him for 19 times a season for 5 years. Speaking of 5 years, it's going to cost you, you know, every bit of a multi-year deal. I have him for 5 years, $125 million going to the Seattle Mariners, unfortunately. So I'm rooting to be wrong.
Yeah, he's 31. So because he's 31, it's not going to be a $300 million contract like Corey Seager and Carlos Correa are going to get. So in that respect, that seems to be more appealing to the White Sox. I can't see the Sox spending $300 million on a player, although they, you know, attempted to get Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. That clearly did not work out.
They didn't want to spend $300 million on a player. I digress.
Yeah, exactly. So he hit 45 home runs last year, most ever by a second baseman, by the way. Won a gold glove at second base. And when I saw that, I'm like, wait, he won a gold glove at second. So maybe he's just fine being a second baseman. And that's going to weigh into this whole thing. Because I did read somewhere that he'd consider playing second base. He's not like shortstop or bust. So that helps the White Sox cause immensely. And I just feel like it's go time. It's win time. What are we doing here? And if the White Sox are really targeting Marcus Semien, they met with Boris about him. They're going after him. He's got a history here. So could you imagine the Sox trading him to the A's because they had Tim Anderson and they bring him back to play with Tim Anderson? And what if the White Sox sign Marcus Semien and then acquire Chris Bassett back from the A's?
Is this part of the prediction, Chuck?
That's a part of my prediction.
Wow.
Yes. They're going
to do over.
They're going to acquire Chris Bassett and they're going to sign Marcus freaking Semien.
The A's are unloading. That's I don't hate that. And Vinny, that's a Vinny have a week's worth of stories to write just with that reunion alone.
And by the way, someone who knows Marcus Semien really well, Andrew Vaughn, both went to Cal. So that's my prediction. Marcus Semien signing with the White Sox. There's a lot of competition there. And part of this is my heart. Part of it is my head. There's a match there. And it's true that the White Sox met with Boris about Semien. They're in the hunt. It's win now mode. They have a glaring need at second base. I think there's a 30% chance, 30% chance that he signs with the White Sox. All right. Number four, Javi Baez. So I put him in here because what if he signs to play second base? You don't know. He might. And another reason I put him in here, which I'll explain with my prediction. So Vinny, where is Javi Baez signing?
Well, I think my first thought was, oh, well, he'll go back to the Mets. He loved playing with Francisco Lindor, his best buddy. He's going to go back to the Mets. The Mets are kind of a chaotic thing at the moment. And also, he didn't quite endear himself to the New Yorkers, despite the fact that I thought it was hilarious by, you know, booing them. So I'm going to move on from the Mets. I say Javi Baez is going to reunite with Joe Maddon in Anaheim. I say Javi Baez is going to the Angels as that team, as they do every offseason, tries to figure out how the heck they're going to take advantage of having now what is arguably the two best players in baseball and, you know, maybe make the playoffs for once.
I like that. That's interesting. That definitely stayed on my radar. I have him reuniting in Chicago. I have him going back to the Cubs. And all of these guys who turned down these deals are kicking themselves now because every one of them is going to get a lower deal than the deal that they originally had on the table. So good for you. Good for you. 5 for $110. The Cubs are spending this offseason. We've seen it. Judd's gone on record with it. Seager is connected to the Cubs. Do you see the Cubs dishing out a $300 million deal to a guy like Corey Seager? Maybe that's the official like spotlights back on us. Like, hey, we are officially moving on and doing it in a new direction. But the Cubs do need good players. And Javi Baez is kind of the last man standing of this group left. We know Bryant's not coming here. Rizzo definitely is probably not going to come back, I don't think. I got Javi Baez, 5 years, $110 million. Remember all that talk about Javi Baez and $225 million and all that garbage? That $160 million deal that he was offered before, what, the 2020 season? If he could go back and change things.
Yeah, that's why I don't think he'll sign with the Cubs, because it's like, you know, I'm going to go back to the Cubs for that amount of money? No, I'll go for
$110 million? What do you think, the Angels are giving him $160? No shot.
No.
Angels exactly. Throw money around like crazy. Come on.
That's a good point.
I'm saying, yeah, he might get $110 million, but if he's only going to get, I say only, if he compared to what he could have got or thought he should have gotten, if you're going to only get $110 million comparatively, you're not going to go back to the team that you thought should have given you $200 million. That's what I'm saying. So the Tigers want to make a splash.
Ooh,
they're not going to get Correa. I got them signing Javi Baez. Javi Baez in the AL Central.
I enjoyed Dylan Cease making him look foolish.
I was going to say, that's a lot more strikeouts for the White Sox starting rotation right there.
Yeah, yeah. He might be like, well, I don't know how many home runs I can hit in this ballpark, but
that's a great point.
We'll see. It's got to go somewhere. I got him going to the Tigers. All right. God, some of these names are just so interesting. We got some good ones here. Number five, Nick Castellanos. Let's get down to it. Nick Castellanos, the White Sox could sign him, put an end to their chasm in right field. The Tigers drafted him, gave him away to the Cubs. It would be great to have him on the South side, stick it to the Tigers and the Cubs for letting him go. Vinny, where do you have Castellanos signing?
I see a new general manager and a team with a very rich owner who are very eager to stop being bad, I guess you could say. And I think Nick Castellanos ends up in Queens with the New York Metropolitans.
So
I'll keep it short and sweet. They've got some need for some outfield there, and they've got some need to make some moves in the NL East.
All right. So just like selfishly, if I had to pick a player that was like, I wanted to like hang with and or be most like with or most like, I love everything about Nick Castellanos. Like forget, I'm just talking about the guy. I don't want to talk about baseball right now. I think he's got the edge, fit. He already likes Chicago. I think he'd be perfect for that chip on your shoulder type. When the game's on the line, he's your guy. He certainly fits offensively. There's no doubt about that. Like I have White Sox written next to his name, but I have it in parentheses because this is a selfish want here.
So this is Goff's prediction for if you were the general manager.
Yeah. Like I have him going 5 for 110 after opting out. He's got 34 million left. He's opted out obviously. But if we've talked about at length here being better defensively, you know, Nick Castellanos is probably not the guy you're looking for in right field. So as a matter of fact, he's well down the list, and he's had to address it multiple times. Outs above average. I mean, runs prevented. Let's put it that way. He ranked, I believe, I'm going way down the list, 37th with a -6. Not what we're looking for in right field. And again, I love the player. You know who always throws around money and never does anything? It's also in the AL West, Vinny. The Texas Rangers love it.
Boy, do they. Boy, do they.
They love to give money. They need a guy that's going to be abrasive, hit 40 bombs, yet do nothing and finish way up the track. Nick Castellanos, 5 for 110 to the Texas Rangers.
That's a great
get traded at the deadline about 2 years from now.
Yeah. But no, he'll just fill in perfectly to where Joey Gallo was. Now Gallo was a better outfielder. This guy's a better hitter, I would say. All right, a quick pause here on the White Sox Talk podcast. We're coming back after this.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So Vinny and I, thinking alike, I have the Mets losing Baez and I have them losing Michael Conforto. They're going to need a right fielder. I've got Nick Castellanos signing with the Mets. Which leads us to number 6, Michael Conforto. I want to say this about Conforto. You know who he reminds me of offensively? What people are saying, like, Conforto, look what this season he had. He sucks. He sucks. He reminds me of the two seasons that Paul Konerko had in 03 and 08, where he just stunk, was bad. And the next year he went off and went back to who he was. And you look at his second half this year, he slashed 252, 347, 445. That was more in line with who he is. So I am a fan of Michael Conforto. I will save where I think he's going until Vinny and Guff. So Vinny, go first.
What a tease. First of all,
I'm teasing.
When it came to Michael Conforto, I do feel like we've been kind of unfair to Michael Conforto. We've been kind of like sweeping him aside as a guy who like no one should consider. And maybe that will happen. We'll see. You know who always takes flyers on guys and always misses the playoffs is the Philadelphia Phillies. And so that's where I think.
Is that a flyer? Is Mike Conforto a flyer?
I don't know. I mean, they signed Bryce Harper. He's good. They signed Zach Wheeler. He's good. But they give a lot of money out to these guys, to all these players, and they never make the playoffs. That they seem like the team that's going to go get Michael Conforto to team.
But they're signed. It's clearly they have more issues. Like Zach Wheeler's a finalist for the Cy Young, and Bryce Harper should be the MVP. I mean,
correct. Yeah, and so they need more because they can't even win. A wild card in that very competitive NL East. I'll say Phillies just for the heck of it.
By the way,
Phillies,
remember how upset? On my list here. Remember how upset Rick Hahn was when they lost out to Zach Wheeler? Like he was not. He was pissed. He thought they had a really good shot, and he also saw the future. Like,
and for the record, he turned out more money with the White Sox to go to.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the difference between having Zach Wheeler this year and Dallas Keuchel, who they ended up with? I mean, I know. Thanks, I hate Chuck. To go there. Hate to go there. Yeah.
All right. So Michael Conforto I had a little Twitter thing going the other day because I was like, man, there are certainly a lot of people like responding to White Sox Twitter. Like they would put a little thing up about, hey, Tim Anderson, first player to do this. And then it's like, have you signed Conforto? Where's Conforto? And I'm like, holy hell, like a lot of people love Michael Conforto. So I just put it out there. I'm like, White Sox Twitter seems to love Conforto. And then of course, here we go. I don't love Michael Conforto, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I want Michael Conforto, if he signs with the White Sox, to come here and shove it to me and be the best the White Sox have had since Magliarellis. I would love nothing more than for that to be the case. I hate inconsistency more than anything else. You talked about Paul Konerko, Chuck. He reminds me of Alex Rios.
Ooh.
Rios was horrific, phenomenal. Horrific, good. Horrific, good. I don't want that. And I'm not giving that guy that amount of money. And I know the sum is greater than like the 2021 season when you can add up the metrics. What you find out is people fall in love with certain metrics. Oh, wins, runs created, ball. That's fine. I want to know, is the guy a winning player for the team that's ready to win the World Series? I've talked about being the guy that's ready to embrace the spotlight and all that stuff. Because I think if you're signing a guy like that, I stunned people by saying he's going to cost you somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 6 years at 120 plus. However, I'm really curious to see if Conforto gets locked up prior to the CBA. Because if the CBA CBA gets locked up, where does Conforto kind of spit out? I have Conforto, for all you White Sox fans coming at me, which is fine because I don't love him. I'm happy to say this. I have him going to the White Sox, but I have him coming here on a one-year prove-it deal, which is like the perfect deal for the White Sox. They get the player they love on the deal they love, and then they figure it out from there. And maybe it's a team option type deal, and they can work on an extension after the 1 year if they want. I have 1 year, $22 million to the White Sox because I don't know. I actually would be seriously stunned if the White Sox gave a 5-plus-year contract at $110-plus million to Mike. Like, that's the guy. I really would be stunned. And, again, I'll happily eat that. But, like, I still have to come to the White Sox, but it's going to be a prove-it deal, and we're going to be sitting here next year going, who's the right fielder?
It's a good point. Listen, he had a bad year. 14 homers, 55 RBIs. This was the only, but he's not like Alex Rios because, he was consistently good every year before that. I mean, there was
Alex Rios in Toronto.
Well, but then you said good, bad. And that's not what Conforto has been doing. But at the same time, if you're going to hit free agency and have a season like he had, it's tough for me to see a team giving him 5 years, $110, $120 million. Although he did, like I said, close in the second half, he was much better. I'd love to have Castellanos in right, but in this lineup, this is the thing with Conforto. He doesn't need to be Castellanos. The Sox need balance in their lineup. They need a left-handed bat. But here's my concern. I already have the White Sox signing one Scott Boras client. Are they going to sign two of them?
Oh, stop. Yes, they could do that.
In one season? One off season? Well,
yes.
So I have Mike Conforto ending up with the White Sox. And I like what you're saying there, Guff, on a shorter deal, because I'd have those same questions. I have those same questions. Like, well, because you struggled this year, but am I going to reward you with a 5-year, $110 million contract? No.
Just because your age? I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm, is he the answer in right field? He's one of the answers. They should not be desperate and chase. Like, I would chase Marcus Semien. I'm trying to get him here. Conforto, I'm like, you know what? This, I'm interested in you, Michael Conforto, at this price, and take it or leave it. And we'll see what happens.
One quick rebuttal to that too is, like, so many people are like, well, we haven't had a good right fielder since Jermaine Dye. Well, don't go, but that means you're chasing. And so if you're desperate and you're showing your hand, well, oh my God, we got to plug this hole we haven't had for 15 years. And if you go back further, we haven't developed the guy since Ordóñez. Is that a reason to sit there and go, well, let's shell out the big bucks for the, I don't know. That's why we're sitting here doing a podcast about it and not spitting it out in a front office.
His market to me is a lot like Rodon's. I don't know, but he's got a healthier track record and more consistency than Rodon. So I'm fascinated to see what his contract is and where he signs. Number seven, we got Starling Marte. He's the only free agent center fielder, certainly legitimate center fielder, on the market. 33 years old, led the majors in stolen bases, a career high 47 stolen bases at 33. Only caught 5 times. I would love to see him on the White Sox, but he's never played right field. I don't know. Vinny, what do you got?
I see a team that utilizes those tools, or he did this past year, to perfection. You know, didn't have too many guys who were, you know, doing the, you look at their lineup, you don't see the stereotypical championship lineup yet. They won more games than anybody in baseball. Starling Marte doesn't have to move. He can stay exactly where he is. And this is a team that is losing a silver slugger with Buster Posey retiring. Starling Marte to the reigning NL West champion San Francisco Giants.
I like that pick, Vinny, but I'm going to go back to what you said about a team that likes to throw around money. And then at the end of the year, 79 and 83. Starling Marte, McCutcheon's gone in Philly. Starling Marte, line it up. Take your $72 million over 3 years at 33 years old and try to go to war with those guys, get them over the hump finally. Starling Marte, who I'm with you, Chuck, man, would I would love to see him on the south side. Philadelphia, 3 for 72.
If I'm a fantasy baseball general manager, I'm signing Starling Marte. I'm putting him in right field. But the reality is he's a free agent center fielder in an off season that doesn't have many free agent center fielders. He's going to have the pick of the litter. And so he's going to have his choice of teams to play either center or maybe left. He's played left. Vinny and I thinking alike again. The Giants reportedly tried to trade for him at the deadline. The A's got him. He's going back to the Bay Area, signing with the Giants. There we go. All right. Number eight. I put him in there. It's kind of like I'm putting Eduardo Escobar in here as a lure. Will anyone bite with the White Sox for Eduardo Escobar? Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, I'll bite. I think he's going to the White Sox. That's what I'll say. Listen, you're saying it as a joke, and a lot of people maybe would not be as thrilled because Marcus Semien is out there and was so, so fantastic in two of the last three seasons, one of the best players in baseball. But Eduardo Escobar has not really been bad. He's been quite good, as a matter of fact, and a guy who's been pretty consistently good offensively. He fits what the White Sox are looking for. They need a second baseman. You could do a lot worse at second base than Eduardo Escobar, plus a guy with some versatility who could bounce around the diamond if you need him to. Only one team's getting Marcus Semien. Only one team's getting Eduardo Escobar, and it seems like it would be a consolation prize, but it is not the kind of, throw your hands up and be mad consolation prize that some fans might have thought about other players in the past, at least not in my opinion. So I see him going to the White Sox, and I see him being a good fit on the White Sox too.
And only one of us predicted Marcus Semien would go to the Chicago White Sox. So Vinny, because of that, Eduardo Escobar, I'm taking the bait too. White Sox 2 for 22 for all of the reason you just said.
probably would have been a more ideal fit at the deadline than Cesar Hernandez. Obviously, it's a hole the White Sox need to fill. They can't leave the void and expect, you know, somebody from internal to do it. And I just think Escobar, as you mentioned, this is another guy that the White Sox raised, right? And know really well. So to have both of those guys of the free agent class at the exact same time, I think the White Sox would feel really comfortable in either of those players. They feel a lot more comfortable in Marcus Semien.
Yeah, he's the Marcus Semien backup plan for me if they don't get him. Eduardo Escobar, he's a real good player on the field. I mean, he had 28 homers and 90 RBIs last season, switch hitter. I thought the Sox acquired him at the deadline. Did that not happen? That didn't happen? No? Okay. I thought it happened. He's a glue guy in the clubhouse. This is someone who would fit right in for the White Sox, and I would love it. But I already have them signing Marcus Semien. I think teams looking for a third baseman might try to sign him. I'm not sure. He would obviously be a second baseman with the White Sox. I saw the Mariners aren't bringing back Kyle Seager, so I've got him going to Seattle, playing third base for them. And that's, you know, that's a team that wants to win. You get a guy like him in your clubhouse. That's where I have Marcus Semien going. Not Marcus Semien, Eduardo Escobar going. All right, number nine, Ryan Tepera, the trade deadline move that did work for the White Sox. He's come off his best season. He gave up only 35 hits in 61 innings. Did I read that correctly? 35 hits in 61 innings, 74 strikeouts. And did he make only $800,000? Was he that cheap? My God.
Good.
All right. So he's in high demand. Vinny, where's he going?
Yeah, he'll probably get a multi-year deal, but and he's probably definitely on the upper echelon of that relief market. But unless you're a top closer, I mean, it is, you might as well just blindfold yourself and throw a dart at the board with who's going to sign a relief pitcher. You know what I mean? Like, every team needs relief pitching. Certainly the White Sox are among them, and they could use a good deal of it, to be honest, with some of the departures they've got from their bullpen. But Ryan Tepera, I'm going to blindfold myself and throw a dart at the board. I looked at the teams that are going to try to contend that did not have a good bullpen last year. I'll send him with Javi Baez out to Anaheim, and I'll put him on the Angels.
Funny you say that. Ryan Tepera, for me, is a guy I would sign tomorrow on the White. I love Ryan Tepera. I think you talked about the multiple times here, Vinny, that the bullpen vacancies that are going to be out there for the White Sox. Talk about an ideal fit. I mean, he'd be an ideal fit for all 30. But I also – you mentioned the Angels because of what they've been able to do. Have the best players in the game, yet finish year after year after year after year under 500. Noah Syndergaard just signed with the Angels. First, finally, a name. Now, obviously, it's a flyer because they're it's one of those risk reward signings. But you can't have a stud staff without a stud pen. I also have Ryan Tepera going to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim on a 2-year, $14 million deal. As much as I'd love for him to be here, I just think this is the Angels' year where they're going to spend. They're going to try to spend for the first time in the way that matters. And this might be Joe Maddon's swan song. I don't know, because they need to put it together. They are wasting Mike Trout year after year after year. And with Ohtani going to be another $300-400 million player coming up, they can't waste time. They cannot waste time, and they need to sign some arms.
So Tepera is a guy that the White Sox need to have back. They've got several holes to fill in the bullpen, but he's going to be in such high demand. I went to look to see where he's from, because maybe he can, if he's got so many choices, he'll go back to the place where he was born. Well, remember what he said about the Houston Astros cheating? Well, he's from Houston. In fact, he went to Sam Houston State. So
no shot, Chuck. No shot is he going to the Astros.
So I had to throw out that idea. He's not going to Houston. And one team that has not even been mentioned. Now, we're not using all the top free agents here. We're not going to do Max Scherzer. We're not, because there's just no connection here. We're not doing Corey Seager. But one team that hasn't been mentioned yet is the Dodgers. The Dodgers are going to sign one of these guys on our list, right? So it'll be Ryan Tepera. They will sign Ryan Tepera. He's going to L.A. Chavez Ravine.
Well, we all have him in L.A.
Yeah, we do. And the White Sox have a lot of work to do in their bullpen if they lose to Parra. All right, number 10, Kyle Schwarber. If the NL gets the DH, it's going to be really, really good to be Kyle Schwarber. Vinny, where's he going?
Yeah, I Chuck, it's a team that you've brought up a couple times already, a team that thinks it can win, that probably can win if it puts enough together there. They got a lot of really good young players, and I think adding Kyle Schwarber is the kind of move that might bolster their lineup further and help them win some more. So I'm going to go with the Seattle Mariners to sign Kyle Schwarber.
I have Kyle Schwarber as 1A on type of dudes that I just would like sign me up for and like let's go to war. He's right there. I love Kyle Schwarber. I think he would be a fan favorite regardless of the Cub thing. He embraces it. He wants it. He's been in the biggest moments and performed admirably every single damn time. He's going to be a guy the rest of his career that teams are seeking, period. He's going to have a very long career, especially because of the NL getting the DH, which we are just going to say is happening. You know, I take a deep breath and a sigh because I would love to find a way to put him on the White Sox. He's actually an above average left fielder. He really is. Like, he can play. He led the league in assists in 18 and 19 at left field. I just don't think the Sox are going to do it. I mean, look, you talked about the left-handed bat, Chuck. I'd feel more comfortable giving Kyle Schwarber the money as a left-handed bat than Michael Conforto. Again, I know Conforto does both things well, kind of. He's not some gold glover year after year. But Vinny, you talked about Toronto being that team that knows that they have a chance. I have them losing Marcus Semien because they're going to have to pay Robbie Ray, which I think they'll do. And they're going to have some stuff to figure out. They do a really good job of working their puzzle around. George Springer, I think, played the most games at DH this year, even though they signed him to be a right fielder, but he was injured. So they do a great job of moving things around. They'll find a way to put Kyle Schwarber in the lineup for 4 years and $72 million. I have Kyle Schwarber remaining in the AL East with the Toronto Blue Jays.
So the White Sox have been looking for a lefty power bat since Jim Thome. A guy who mashes against right-handed pitching. Well, if you're looking for a guy who mashes against right-handed pitching, this is the guy against righties this year. This is what he slashed. Kyle Schwarber, 264, 366, slugged 623, OPS 990. If it's me, I'm signing Semien. I'm signing Schwarber. I'm putting Vaughn and Sheets in right field. I'm like, fine, just you guys figure it out.
Didn't they sign Conforto?
I said, if it's me.
Oh, I see. The Chuck plan is not the prediction.
If it's me, that's what I'm doing. I'm like, Michael Conforto, no. I don't want Michael Conforto. Give me Schwarber. That's the guy. But my prediction was different. So I think with a name like Schwarber, he's got to stay in Boston. Schwarber. He raked with the Red Sox. He had big hits in the playoffs. They'll bring him back. He's going to stay in Boston. But obviously, the fit with the White Sox, that's the guy. But anyway.
I like that plan, to be honest with you, Chuck, because I don't think people should be sleeping on Andrew Vaughn. I mean, that guy was a rookie last year. The hopes are so high for him that, you know, I think everybody's talking about his rookie season as a success internally. I think Andrew Vaughn is definitely a part of this plan going forward in a mostly everyday role. Now, obviously, when they're trying to win, if they can platoon him in a way that suits him best, then great. But we don't know that those splits are going to stay the way they were during his rookie season. So I think he's definitely a part of this plan, and you should be building your offseason plan, whoever you are out there, you know, dreaming things up around Vaughn too.
And can I add something real quick about that? Because that goes into what I just said about Toronto doing a really good job of maneuvering the puzzle around. Like, you, if a guy's hot, leave him there. That's why Kyle's great fit. If you can let right field be right field with Andrew Vaughn and Gavin Sheets, and if you sign a guy like Schwarber, he fits in like three places immediately. He can play left field and spell Aloy out and left. He doesn't have to play every single day. Let Aloy play 4 days a week, whatever you want it to be. Eventually, we've seen that you're going to have to pull the reins in on Aloy. And then this is the last year of Jose Abreu's deal. Okay. So I know he's going to be a White Sox for life. It just feels that way. However, you know, Kyle Schwarber played a lot of games at first base for the Boston Red Sox. there are ways to make this all work by adding a guy from the left side that you've been trying to replace since Jim Thome, like Chuck just said.
Preaching to the choir. I want Schwarber. I didn't predict it. That's who I want. So that leads us to number 11, Nelson Cruz. 32 homers, 86 RBIs. He was great with the Twins. I look at his numbers with the Rays. Oh, man, what happened to him at Tropicana Field? He slashed 226, 283, 442. He's going to be 41 years old. Where is he signing?
Who throws the money around? Who loves a power hitter? Texas Rangers reunion with Nelson Cruz, baby. Here we go.
All right, this is my first official post-CBA signing, meaning the NL gets the DH. And just looking at how this team operates, they lost Avi Garcia. Nelson Cruz is going to the Milwaukee Brewers. And he's going to go there and hit 42 homers.
Another reunion.
He's going to be the exact stud that you expect him to be in that market with that team. He's going to be the perfect fit. The Brewers are going to be wearing the robes. And it's going to make all the sense to – I think he would be perfect for the Brewers. And he fits their budget, like the one-year deal. They get the instant offense. I like it.
I love it.
The team I have him going to was a team that was coming – that came apart at the seams during the season in the National League. They need a leader in that clubhouse. Padres.
That's a good one.
Padres. You know, this is also assuming the NL is going to have a DH. That's where he'll end up, in my opinion. That's like the perfect guy for that team. And he's protecting Machado and Tatis. So that's who I have him. That's where I have him going. Okay. Now moving on. Number 12, our last free agent. This is for Chris Kamka, who was supposed to join us on the podcast. He had some
fatherly duties.
Mateo, his son, was not napping. So that's why he's not on the podcast. So number 12, Leury García, Kamka's favorite player. The White Sox Swiss Army knife. Where is he going to end up? That's what everyone wants to know. We could talk all about Kyle Schwarber and Marcus Semien and Carlos Correa and Michael Conforto and Nick Castellanos. But the real mystery is, where is Leury García going to sign, Vinny?
I personally think it makes plenty of sense for the White Sox to bring him back if they put him in the role that we've long talked about he's best suited for, to utilize that versatility, put him around everywhere. He's great in the clubhouse. He's the longest tenured member of this organization, until he hit free agency or until he signs with another team, we should say. That being said, Leury García hit well enough at the end of the year and showed enough over the last few years that he could probably get paid to be a starter somewhere, not for a team that's trying to win the World Series, I would imagine, but he could probably be paid to be a starter somewhere. I went ahead and just kind of picked a random one and picked a team that, you know, might not think that they have what it takes to win their division this year, but still needs to, you know, play 162 games. I'll send Leury García in a starter's role to the Washington Nationals.
Ooh. I have two teams down, none of which are the White Sox, which probably means he'll be back with the White Sox because I think La Russa loved him as much, if not more, than Ricky Renteria. So
hard to do.
Yeah. That aside, I look at it this way, like this is a free agent prediction podcast and I'm looking at my sheet here. I have Eduardo Escobar on the White Sox, which means I don't have room. He's like an absolute upgrade of Leury García, right? You can move him around if you need to. He obviously produces a lot higher rate and a better rate. So that means Leury García is the odd man out. I used to say years ago that Joe Maddon would absolutely love Leury García because you can play him at every position. And because Joe Maddon is still in the league and that the Angels are sweeping, we mentioned the Angels at length here at ad nauseum. I have Leury García going to Joe Maddon and letting Joe Maddon explore him around the diamond and being the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, kind of pseudo everyday Swiss Army knife, as well as possibly the other team I had written down, just kind of with a question mark that feels right, like they want to spend money, but does anyone really want to go there yet? But he'd probably be a good fit. would be the Miami Marlins, and they'd probably just like pay him and he would have to take the money because it's his one payday.
I have Leary García. Well, first off, before I say where I have him going, you know, there's a part of me that feels like the White Sox can't quit Leary García and Leary García can't quit the White Sox. Like, they can't say no to each other. They just have to keep, you know, keeping the marriage going. they can't divorce themselves from each other. But what's going to happen is he's a free agent. His agent's going to call around and he's going to find a team that always is looking for value. Value. What's the most I can get out of you without really paying you that much money? And I can use you everywhere. He's going to Oakland.
So Oakland, Milwaukee, but Oakland's good.
Yeah, Oakland's like they're going to trade everyone away. They're slashing, cutting, slashing, and they can get García like a 1 year, $5 million deal to play second base. And he'd be like, yeah, bring it on. I'll do it. So
I think he's getting multi-year though, Chuck. I don't know if 1 for 5 is going to get it done with Leary García. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think there's, I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. He's been signing 1 year deals all along.
Your comment about like, it's a divorce, like that no one wants to divorce each other, to me is not a reason to keep a guy. It's not a reason to stay married. And
I was not meaning that they,
I know. I always worry about that with the White Sox too. Like,
no, wow, no.
And it listen, worked.
He was, so like, he was
let's
incredible.
Let's just keep it going. Let's just keep it going rather than.
Right. I mean, I didn't mean it like they can't live without each other, even though I kind of said that. It just seems that way, but he's coming off his best season.
But like if Tony says, I want Leary García, he's coming back.
Yeah.
Like,
so. Right. But then I'm wondering if a team like the A's will come calling and just because they need him to play second base and they'll outspend the White Sox, even though the,
well, yeah, again, money's going to always win.
Yeah. All right. So I got Leary García going to the A's. Finally, will Craig Kimbrel be traded? And if so, where is he going?
Yes, he will be traded. It seems that way to me. I think we talked about it when Maddie and I were out in California. It was very surprising to hear Rick Hahn talk about openly trading a player. That's not something that he usually does. And to hear that would indicate that there is a, you know, pretty real likelihood of that kind of outcome happening. It makes sense. You know, the White Sox tried. It was a great move when they made it, and it didn't work out to move on from a guy who is probably best suited for a closer's role and would like that change of scenery probably. I have no inside information as to where he's going, so I'm kind of picking just, you know, random as we have this entire enterprise, this entire podcast. I look to a team that we talked earlier, a team that always thinks it can compete, a team that makes big moves to try to compete. Whether it works out or not is not always the case. I'll say he ends up back in the National League with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Ooh, I think that'd be a good fit for him, but I'll say this. Those fans don't have a lot of patience. So nope. He better come out a little bit differently than he did here on the South Side. I also have yes, and I just am in love with this team recently. I know you can't probably see that, Craig Kimbrel. I have him reunited with Joe Maddon.
A lot of reunions with Joe Maddon.
I don't know if Joe Maddon wants that reunion. I do have a couple of reunions. I'm basically like the last three guys, like the last four, three of the last four guys on this list I have going to the Angels. But we talked about the Angels needing to upgrade the one thing that we know that they can hit and mash, and they have the best players in the lineup. But if they don't have anybody to pitch, what's the matter? You get Tapera and Craig Kimbrel. Here's, you want the shocker? Like this to me, I'm thinking outside the box here because I'm glad this one's the last one. And this obviously blows up free agent as well. This blows up the free agent podcast. The Angels are desperate. They're out of patience. Can you swing a package? Not only do you trade Craig Kimbrel, but something else. I'm not going to come up with a name right now. And Joe Adell is the guy coming back to the White Sox in the piece. You say that, Vinny. Do a little research. Sorry, Vinny didn't say anything, but he gave a look. If you do a little research right now, like, I just don't know how – and to run out of patience on a guy who's picked 10 overall, has been the number one prospect in baseball for several years, I think it is lunacy. But I'm picking up the phone knowing that the Angels – are thinking everything's on the table and they're trying to win the World Series. And so are you. if you don't have room for Craig Kimbrell, here he is. What will it start to get Joe Adell to him? And if it's Craig Kimbrell and spare parts, maybe right field's figured out. I don't know.
Good choice. Good destination. That makes sense to me. They'll probably be looking for a closer. I again am agreeing with Vinny. What is going on? It's a third time, at least. The Phillies tried to acquire Kimbrell at the deadline. Didn't get him. They're going to need a closer. And they've spent so much freaking money. I remember last year on this podcast, I said something like, the Philadelphia Phillies have spent around $700 million on free agents, and they've not made the playoffs. And they didn't make the playoffs again. So they're going to be spending again. It's going to be probably over $1 billion after this offseason. And there is something about Kimbrell and Phillies fans. That is a volatile combination right there. Volatile.
They spent big on a closer not long ago, too. They got David Robertson, and that didn't work. And so, you know, they keep kind of throwing money at the problem. And, you know, this time they might not have to throw as much money. They just pay, they just pay the 16 or much of it for this year. And I kind of see that. I could see that happening, that kind of trade where, you know, maybe the White Sox don't get back a big package or somebody they can plug into their major league roster, but they get $16 million to go spend on.
You want that $16 million or as much of it. You don't want a player in return. I mean, you'd love to get a player in return, but it's really about the salary dump.
I mean, you talk about the $700 million they've spent, but it wasn't, I mean, they've done it the right way. Guys, like, it's not like they haven't performed. I mean, they're top of the edge. Bryce Harper should win the MVP. Wheeler's in the Cy Young mix. That's going to continue year in and year out, which tells you they have a lot more problems. They fired Gabe Kapler because they thought he was a problem. How'd that work out? He won the NL Manager of the Year with the San Francisco Giants. So, you know, crap rolls downhill. Leadership starts at the top. And sometimes you got to look up before you look down.
All right. So that is a wrap. All of our predictions seen into the future. You want to predict when the CBA is going to be signed?
Absolutely not.
Oh, you won't even go.
I'm going to say before January 1.
Ooh, that'll be amazing.
I'm going to say before, which means I'm giving them an extra 31 days, but I'm going to say before January 1st. If this thing gets into the new year, past the new year, and then you start looking at spring training, like I think the war of words could get ugly.
Oh, I think it will get ugly. I'll go mid-January. That's my prediction.
Okay.
And Vinny's just staying out, staying on the sidelines.
Vinny just saying,
I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah. He's Switzerland. Vinny just wants the free drinks. Vinny wants to be the reciprocated free drinks for whoever loses the bet.
Yes, that sounds great. I will gladly do that. between you two. Right, exactly.
Correct. Yeah, you will be invited to our – the whoever – yeah, exactly. You will be able to get a drink – or free by saying I'm out on the bet.
All right. Excellent. I preemptively order something that comes in a pineapple.
Well, let's circle back on this. Maybe spring training this year. We'll circle back on our predictions and see who had the most correct.
I like it.
All right. That's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage. It is www.wintrust.com/Sox. Mark Carlson. It's all yours.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.